You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, whenever, wherever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. Happy hump day. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. Good things continue to happen across the board. If you look at sports, we are just a few days away from starting back the NBA and the NHL. Baseball is back. Soccer's playing. But in fact, I turned on a game yesterday while I was sitting in the office of the Premier League, which has been playing for a while now, granted. But it is nice to have some live sports on, even in the middle of the day. This is going to be a commonplace starting in August, every day, for the next few months. And it's going to be great. So it's about time we're starting to get sports back. I think social media needs it dramatically. People are going crazy. People are upset. You know, politics is such a draining topic these days. And that's all there's really been to talk about on social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, so on and so forth. Now that we have some sports getting into the mix, this should change up some things and it should kind of settle people down a little bit, I think. So, myself included. Because I will have sports to talk about, and it'll be great. Anyways, let's get into some of these sports topics today. We've got a good one, guys. We've got a really good one. And it's that the NFL and the NFLPA, as of this morning, has come to an agreement. There will be zero preseason games and 80-man rosters, is what it so seems to be. Ian Rappaport today on NFL Network this morning reported that when he was reporting just a few moments ago, the NFL had agreed to these terms, which is excellent, excellent news for the NFL, for NFL fans. They're doing a great job making sure that this does not look like the MLB's fiasco, as the MLB and the MLBPA could not come to agreements on really anything for a good couple months. The NFL is quickly working on this. It just kind of comes down to the fact that there was not enough time between strength and conditioning workouts, going to padded practices. There just wasn't enough time to get a preseason game in there. Normally teams are starting training camp right now. Teams are already working out. They're already getting going for getting ready for the season, you know, and they've been working on their strength and conditioning, you know, the months prior, and coaches haven't really had any way to oversee that. They're going to want these players to come in. They're going to want to see where they're at. There was no mini camps. There's, you know, if you just look at the way that the season has played out, there was just a lot of stuff so far that isn't normally there, and they need to get all that stuff in, and just not enough time to get a preseason game in. Plus, you got the Hall of Fame ceremonies moving to next year. Makes sense. Push it off. Wait till after the election year when all this coronavirus and pandemic stuff isn't such a big deal. Anyways, that's where we're at, okay, with the NFL season. So there is definitely going to be an NFL season. The NFL and the NFLPA are getting along great. The negotiations are going smooth. And I don't think there's much left for the NFLPA to contest regarding all of this from what the NFL has offered today. So, that being said, we're having football this year, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's worth also mentioning on this podcast that yesterday, Tim Tebow, the former Florida Gator, Heisman Trophy winner, NFL quarterback, you can use that term lightly, released a very inspiring, a message that people need to hear today. He used one of my favorite quotes. And apparently it's one of his favorite quotes too. And it's from Winston Churchill. If you have enemies, good. It means that you stood for something some point in your life. And Tim Tebow encourages everyone to be themselves, to be strong, to stand for the things that they believe in. And he told his experience. He's always wanted to be liked. He's always wanted that. He's always wanted people to like him. He's a very social person. And he had to make that difference. You know, he had to make that switch in his head. Would I rather be liked or would I rather be respected? You can get 1,000 likes on an Instagram post. That doesn't mean any single one of them respect you. Just look at women on Instagram now. Instagram models, for example. They'll get thousands upon thousands of likes and comments. And generally in the comments, because Instagram models have to be a little bit revealing with their bodies, because of the way that the culture is today, if they want to get those likes, you'll notice that in the comments, there's not a lot of respect. It's a lot of simping. It's a lot of thoughts on things that really are degrading toward women, especially in our modern day culture. But people do this because that's how they get paid. You know, Instagram models, when they hit several thousand likes, whatever, they get advertisers. They can do things. They can make money. And those likes and those comments pay. But at the same time, they can get all those likes. They can do all that. But who out of any of those people that like them really respect them? You know that behind their back, they're going, man, I wish I would do that. I wish I made millions upon millions of dollars. Thousands upon thousands of dollars just posting pictures of myself on Instagram. What a life. You know, so there's not a lot of respect. You know, so I think that even if what you believe is not the popular opinion, a lot of times if you're right and it's true, whatever, it's not the popular opinion, because a lot of times people don't like the truth. People don't like what's right. Stand for it. People will respect you for it. And that's what Tim Tebow was saying yesterday. So people need to listen to Tebow. People need to listen to what he's trying to say. Because what he is saying is powerful, and it will help a lot of people with just their overall happiness, man. And I say this as someone who has struggled looking for that identity, that has gone through things in their lives that were challenging, that challenged me. And there were times in my life where I did want to be liked. And so I caved, and I gave in to certain things that I normally wouldn't have. The regret that I have for doing some of those things, I can't summarize on this podcast. But There's certain people, they're like, John, why don't you just apologize? Why don't you just get the mob off of your back? Because as soon as I apologize, two things are going to happen. Because first off, I don't need to apologize. Nothing wrong was said. Nothing wrong was done. So I don't need to apologize. That's the first. But first off, if I were to apologize, just to make Twitter mob, angry people, happy. That's not going to stop them. Then they're going to say, well, John, you apologize about this. Now you need to apologize about that. If they're not saying that, they're saying another thing. Your apology's weak. You don't mean it. And then all those people that respected me for standing up and saying something, they don't respect me anymore. I sold out. Think of the way that Drew Brees apologize for his comments. When you listen to his comments, there was absolutely nothing wrong with them. Absolutely nothing wrong with them. He just said, I'm standing for the national anthem. I disagree and I won't support anybody who won't. There's nothing wrong with that. People blew it up and made it into something that it was not. You hate this movement, they said. Think of all the good things you've done for black people and you do this. Wait, what? What? See, when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, he wasn't saying, everybody needs to take a knee with me. He was trying to make a point. And Nate Boyer, the guy who told Kaepernick, gave him the idea to do this, even says this. You can stand for the national anthem. I encourage you to stand for the national anthem. Be proud of it. And those people humiliated and dragged Drew Brees through the dirt. And what did he do? He apologized. And what did they say? Your apology's not enough. So he apologized again. Your apology's weak. You don't mean it, Drew. Then when the president said something, he lashed back at the president, and then that was when they were like, okay, you're on our side now. This is the thing with the mob. You're not going to please them. You're not going to satisfy them. There's no point in giving them anything. And I suppose for some of you out there, you really think I got kicked out of draft, right? Coming up next on the John Vogel Show, we're going to get into the college football season. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. If you are looking to start a podcast, I've heard some of the comments from you guys listening to this show. Some of you are, you're very interested in starting a podcast. Well, listen, go to anchor.fm, sign up today, get started. They're going to help you monetize it off the bat. No minimum listenership. And they're going to put it on all the major platforms for you, so it's worth your time, it's worth your effort. Go do that. Go get that taken care of. Bang it out. All right. College football. Let's not talk about, let's move the season and stuff. Let's not do anything like that. Let's not talk about transfers. I mean, transfers are going to come up, but let's not make that the main topic here. Let's actually talk about some football. As of now, we still have some very good games that are on. And with a lot of positivity starting to float around, it looks like that these games could still be played out. And I'm not talking about Alabama-LSU, or the Iron Bowl, or the game, or Army versus Navy, which was, they said yesterday, book it, it's happening. I'm talking about LSU and Texas. Yes, LSU and Texas. You know, Texas has got to be kicking themselves in the foot. I cracked a Texas joke yesterday, okay? I really did. And I said that they're one of those teams, they don't prioritize winning because they sell out their stadiums regardless every week that they play at home. So why would you prioritize winning if that's already what's going on for you? And there is some merit, there is some truth to that. Because this is a team that doesn't seem to be able to win more than 9 games a year at the moment. However, they are still considered one of the top premier programs in the nation. Okay, so LSU just 2 years ago was one of these teams that was one of the premier
destinations in the nation, but couldn't pull it together, couldn't win more than 9 games a year. Just 2 years ago. 2 years ago, LSU and Texas were like next to each other on the same level. So when they came down, when LSU came down to Texas to play, everybody knew it was going to be a good game and it could go either way because both of the teams had just struggled for so long. They both get all the talent. They both have the facilities. They have all of the buttons and whistles, but they couldn't ever pull it together. And then, so they scheduled games, a 1-1, a home and home. LSU goes down there and beats the pants off. LSU goes on to win a national championship. They put it all together. And Texas has got to be kicking themselves going, why didn't we play this team a year earlier? Because, man, they probably would have beat them. They probably would have beat them the year before. Anyways, this is going to be there's still a lot of good football that is left to be played. Alabama and BYU agreed to terms in like 2 weeks. That doesn't sound like that's going to be great. BYU can be competitive. All right, so let's get into Alabama a little bit. I think that this is a fun team to kind of speculate on. Yeah, I think we're going to probably spend it all on the SEC. Sorry to you Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC fans. The SEC is where it's at. I'm just saying. Let's talk about Alabama for a second. Alabama is entering this season with a lot of talent returning. Devontae Smith, Najee Harris. Don't forget about that linebacker. Shoot, who is the linebacker? Dylan Moses, right? Yeah. Patrick Surtain. There is some really good talent coming back. Oh, left tackle Alex Leatherwood coming back. There's some really good talent that this team was able to retain from the NFL draft. All of those guys that I just mentioned could have declared. They didn't. Surtain might not have been able to, but I think he was. The question surrounding Alabama right now is actually, believe it or not, the quarterback position. Tua Tagovailoa was the 5th overall pick to the Miami Dolphins in the 2020 NFL draft. He missed the last 4 games of the 2019 season because of an injury. He dislocated his hip. It was a career-threatening injury. Everything went well. Tua is expected to potentially play as soon as this year, which is mind-boggling for anybody who saw him get hurt. Saw the injury. It was bad. It was very bad. Now, here's the thing about the quarterback situation in Alabama. You have a very talented junior. Is this a junior or senior? I think he's a junior. He stepped in the games last year when Tua went down. Mac Jones. Mac Jones is not nearly the athletic, playmaking type, gifted, natural quarterback that Tua was. Mac Jones is more of a drop back. I'm going to scan the field from the pocket. If I'm not making a throw from the pocket, I'm probably not comfortable type quarterback. Think Kirk Cousins. Accurate passer with the football. Maybe not as accurate as a lot of people think. But pretty accurate with the football. Good arm. Sees the field generally pretty well. Had some really bad luck against the Iron Bowl against Auburn. All right, so you've got him coming back. Now you've also got Bryce Young, who is this true freshman, number 2 quarterback prospect in the nation. This guy's really good. Saw him in the All-American, U.S. Army All-American Bowl. It's not the U.S. Army anymore, which is just, I will never be able to adjust to calling it the Toyota All-American game. That just sounds so wrong. Toyota. I love Toyota, but Toyota is not an American car. All American. Anyways. The All-American game, he played outstanding football in the West. Was just this electric playmaker, just looked like Tua 2.0. And I couldn't believe it. So here's the thing, Tua's not coming back. They have a guy that could step in immediately and take it and do this. I don't know if he has a good chance. He was an early enrollee. He started those practices with Alabama, the spring practices that they were able to play before everything got shut down. Some of the early workouts and stuff. But he hasn't really had a chance yet to really gun for that job. I think he's got a very good shot at doing so. I think that Mac Jones's limited play style and skill set is not as suited for the Alabama offense as Bryce Young. Because, let's face it, Jones is probably going to be the more accurate, the better quarterback from a throwing standpoint. But if you go with Young, you may take a downgrade in that side of the game, but you have a senior running back. You always have a good running back room at Alabama, but you've got a senior returning running back who's basically more athletic, Derrick Henry. You've got great wide receivers on the outside. You can put a playmaker in there and make that offense more explosive. Just like Tua should have been played over Jalen Hurts his freshman year before the national championship game against Georgia. It would have made that offense so much more dynamic. All right, so this is what you're going up against. Okay. Alabama has that uncertainty at that quarterback position. Whichever player they go with is going to be fine for them. They're going to win their 10 games. Okay. I think that they could go potentially or it won't be 10 games because they probably won't have all those out-of-conference games, but you know what I mean. They're going to win the majority of their games. They might lose one or two. I think that they have the potential to go undefeated if they play Bryce Young. Go look up his All-American game highlights because he was extraordinary, and I cannot stress that enough, just how good he was in that game. And if you want, go back. It's on YouTube. Watch the entire game. And the reason I recommend it is because there is a quarterback on the other side. DJ Uke is what I'm going to call him. I'm not sure how to say his last name. It's something quite difficult to pronounce. He is the number one quarterback prospect coming out of this class. He's committed to Clemson. He is very good, too. He is destined to take over the reins from Trevor Lawrence as soon as he retires. So, definitely worth your time to go watch that game, kind of get an idea, feel for those two quarterbacks and everyone else in the game, but those two quarterbacks especially. The other team that we should bring up before we run out of time on this podcast today is LSU. Now, I was on Are You Serious Sports 3 weeks ago, and we were talking about this, and with Blake Ruffino. Blake Ruffino started to kind of get into this a little bit. All right, and he's starting to buy this, which I really like. Because when I said it, he was a little bit surprised, but I think he went and he did some homework, and he saw what I was talking about. Which, if Blake's doing that, if I'm not mistaken here, Blake, don't take this the wrong way. But if I'm not mistaken here, Blake, that's what happened. All right, so I said that the linebackers, despite losing Jacob Phillips Jacob Phillips and Patrick Queen, were going to be better this year for LSU. It was going to be a stronger, more athletic, bigger group because you got Jabril Cox Jr. and the younger guys that didn't play too much last year. Yeah, them. Right. They're going to be better because they're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. And I even saw in the comments, because he puts this up on, I think it's on Twitter Live, it's on Facebook Live, there's a bunch of places that he posts it, you know, and he streams it, and people leave comments. He's got a very engaging audience. Somebody came back, I saw somebody come in there and go, linebackers? No way. But Blake's been kind of getting on to this. He's picked up on this. He's like, man, these linebackers are really good this year. and they are going to be better than next year. That's the key position of this LSU defense. They're set in the secondary. They've got one of the best corners, if not the best corner, in the nation right now. He's a true sophomore. They've got Jacoby Stevens playing as a rover safety. They've got a very talented secondary. Okay. LSU's secondary is loaded. LSU's front is still loaded. Tyler Shelvin is a one-man wrecking show when he's on the field. He doesn't quite have the motor to play every snap, but when he's on the field, he is 340 pounds of wrecking hell. Shelvin is one of the better players on the LSU team. He's one of my favorites, okay? So you've got him. I know you've got a couple edge guys that are supposed to be really good this year. Look, LSU's loaded on defense. They're looking for those linebackers to step up, and I think they're going to this year. All right. On the offensive side, you're loaded at running back. You have two running backs that played a good bit last year that were really good. You've got your top wide receiver coming back, Ja'Marr Chase. You've got one offensive lineman coming back who just happened, you know, four of them went off and got, I think three got drafted. Might have been all four, I forget. But Miles Brennan at quarterback is the key. If they have consistency at quarterback, if Miles Brennan has a good year, this is a team that's going to contend for a national championship. Just saying it right now, I think Brennan's got a really good chance. He's already taking a lot of the steps that he needs to take in order to step up, get ready. Kind of in the same mold, the same stratosphere as Joe Burrow did last year. All right, so big game, big year for both those teams, Alabama and LSU. But with that, that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning into the John Vogel Show. I appreciate every single one of you listening. Go follow us. Go follow me on social media at John D.A. Vogel. Pretty much across the board like that. If you're on Parler, I'm there. If you're on Gab, I'm on there. There's one I'm joining today that I was playing around with a little bit last night. I'm going to figure out. It's called Mind, and it seems to be really interesting. So if you're on there, I'm there now too, at John D.A. Vogel. All right. Peace out, guys. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back tomorrow talking it up, getting into more whatever happens today. I presume we'll go into tomorrow. God love you all. This is the John Vogel Show.